Today, the Associated Press is reporting the latest cyber attack, London's Financial Times blogs, and its Twitter feed. The Syrian Electronic Army is claiming responsibility, as they have for last month's hacking of NPR and the BBC, among others. Locally, hackers compromised the Honolulu Police Department's alert system a few weeks ago. Can hacktivists be stopped, or will they continue to lead the government, corporate, and media organizations on missions of politically based frustration? Jason Martin is a cybersecurity expert. He joins us now. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me today, I guess.
I mean, it really is a new world in many ways for all organizations, no matter what you do. If you're in the media, if you have a business, certainly if you're in government, somebody is most likely fingering you for some sort of attack, or so it seems.
Yeah, there's both targeted attacks going on for people that are trying to make money or steal secrets, but there's also just attacks that are hitting you if you're on the internet at all, which most businesses are today.
So, I mean, a couple issues. Espionage is one thing when you're trying to steal somebody's secrets, and it's quite another when you're just trying to make a point that's politically based.
Correct. That's the hacktivists will leverage what they can, including cyber, to push forward their messages, particularly if it's a government message like the Syrian Electronic Army. As you pointed out, they're looking to push or actually attack people that are doing pro-opposition messaging against President Assad. They are loosely backed, they say, by Syria, and some people say that they're supported by his billionaire brother out of Dubai. And I don't know if you heard also, you mentioned some of their recent hacks, but they hacked the Associated Press Twitter account a few weeks back and tweeted that there was an explosion at the White House, which caused a subsequent drop of about $136 billion in the S&P 500. So these hacktivist activities can sometimes have substantial impact.
I mean, the list of how many hacking examples that we could put into it is getting kind of long now. I mean, just this morning with the Financial Times and their Twitter feed and their various different blogs, all at the same point trying to make the point that really nobody is safe. And yet so much of our activity and movement has moved online that we now have to accept a new level of risk. So how do you begin to combat that when you know that it's clearly out there?
Well, I think the first thing is raising awareness. So educating yourself on what the risks are out there with being online, risk both from a personal perspective as an individual and also as a business. And then after that, putting in the appropriate controls and processes that you have to have to protect against this. And it's a complex matter. I jokingly say disconnect from the internet, but that's not a reality today.
Well, it's not, and being especially there was such a movement to get everybody on to the end, by no means is everybody online now, but there has really been a push over the last 10, 20 years to create more of a connectivity with people wherever they may be, just simply by flipping up your laptop or your smartphone or somehow. And now we realize that these things are dangerous and the honeymoon is really, really over. We know that there are ways to protect, as you've just mentioned, but hackers seem to be always one step ahead. How come they get to be one step ahead?
Well, we're in a cyber arms race is probably the best way to put it. And as we increase our defenses, they're going to increase their offense to get through those. There's estimates that 95% of all companies are actually compromised. Those numbers might even be higher to some level. And it's really there's profit to be made, and it's a great platform for spreading propaganda or stopping the spread of propaganda. And so we're just going to continue to have this escalation, almost like a nuclear arms race. And it's spread out into military, definitely, with the Pentagon formally establishing the Cyber Command, cyber being recognized as the fifth domain of warfare now. Definitely the next war or war-like activities we see will include cyber. During the recent posturing in North Korea, there was an attack against South Korea at the same time. 35,000 computers in South Korea were wiped out in the financial and media areas. So it's just something we're going to have to live with, I think, going forward.
And certainly we've heard the Pentagon fingering China for doing the very same thing. And, of course, China saying, well, no, it's actually you. And now we have everybody pointing fingers at each other in a way that may be very different from pointing guns at each other. But in some ways, this could be much more dangerous than guns.
Yeah, and the difference, we talk about, offense and defense not being caught up, but also our international treaties aren't caught up. There are actually, surprising to most people, there are no cyber warfare treaties. There are a few cyber crime conventions like the Budapest Convention and the Shanghai Convention, but currently we're probably 5 to 10 years away from there being any treaties that govern activities in cyber warfare. And the reality is China's doing it, Iran's doing it, Israel, U.S., Russia. I don't know if you saw the French recently accused the U.S. of hacking their president. So yeah, everyone's doing it. If you want to be a superpower today, you need to be a superpower in cyber.
Yeah, definitely. You got to be a super hacker.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Hawaii, because here we are floating around by ourselves, farthest from every place, we push that home a lot because we are. We're just here and we have to look after ourselves. How vulnerable are we?
We're very vulnerable. At SecureDNA, we monitor the networks and emails and servers of companies throughout Hawaii and the U.S. mainland, and we detect monthly actual cyber espionage attacks against assets here in Hawaii, which surprises some people because, yeah, we're on a very remote location, but we're strategic, right? We are out here. Pearl Harbor is very strategic. We are a nexus point for travel in Asia, and so people may be medically treated here. We do a lot of research out here. And so I have this conversation with boards sometimes, and they're very surprised. Why would China target us? Well, they're looking for information on what's going on, what we're building, what we're doing.
You also been talking to our legislature. Do they really understand this?
No, you know, I think it's just like at the international level where there's not a good dialogue yet. I think even at the state and local level, there needs to be an effort to educate everyone to get them up to a common ground and to be able to discuss this situation. So that's my purpose when I go out to talk to the legislature, is just hopefully to educate them on the issue and meet with them and help them maybe enhance laws and regulations here in Hawaii to help with this issue.
So for everyone who's listening to this deeply disturbing message that you have, is there something that you want to leave them with that gives them a little bit of hope?
Well, again, just educate yourself. One of the things is we in hopes to get everyone more educated on this topic, we have a security conference every year called ShakaCon. We have speakers that we bring in from around the world to actually speak about these subjects and learn more. You can see a list of speakers at our website, which is shakacon.org. Learn as much as you can and just be diligent. Pay attention to things that are going on online. And if things look suspicious, just, you know.
Even if they're small.
Even if they're small.
Because very often that might be just
correct,
the way
yeah.
in. Jason, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Jason Martin is president and CEO of the Hawaii-based SecureDNA. He's been working in IT security, auditing, and governance for 15 years. And he has been advising the Hawaii State Legislature on emerging cybersecurity risks. He's the founder of the ShakaCon Security Conference we just mentioned.
ShakaCon, 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 let me rock it, let me rock ShakaCon. Let me rock it, that's all I want to do. ShakaCon, let me rock it, let me rock ShakaCon. Let me rock it, let me feel for you. ShakaCon, what you tell me, what you want to do? Do you feel for me the way I feel for you? ShakaCon, let me tell you what I want to do. I want to love you, want to hug you, want to squeeze you too. And let me take it in my arm, let me feel you. Cause you know that I'm the one that keep you warm, Chaka. I make it more than just a physical dream. I wanna rock you, Chaka, baby, cause you make me wanna scream. Let me rock you, rock you.